the sheet is, comes down. So it's about noon. Oh, I'll just tell you what. Acts 10, and it's starting at verse 9, and it's on page 1104, if you're looking in the church Bibles. And it's entitled Peter's Vision. So we're going to start at 9, and then we're going to go over on the other page to 44. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." And we're going to carry on. So Peter speaks to them, and then we're going to start at page 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they had heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone stop these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
Thank you, Sarah. So we're continuing our series that we began a few weeks back now. And this week what we're looking at in terms of lives that invite questions is the idea that we should be able to listen and be changed, that there would be something that occurs within us as we trust in God and seek to follow him. If we want to live lives that invite questions, then our lives have got to be in tune with the Spirit, and we've got to have our eyes focused on Jesus. If we look at the life of Jesus himself, he lived differently. He lived in such a way that people always asked him questions. Wherever Jesus went, people had questions for him. Wherever he ate a meal, wherever he shared with people always came to him with questions. And I think part of that was because he lived a life that invited it. He was willing to stand out a little bit from that. It is perhaps, obvious, but I'll state it anyway, that maybe the model of Jesus is the ultimate role model for living a life that leads to questions. If we live like Jesus, then our lives will raise questions with people. The reason I think that's the case is that the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son were in perfect unity when God was here on earth in the form of Jesus. And because they were together, they worked in harmony with one another and sought to go after whatever the Spirit was prompting Jesus to do at that moment. But our passage this morning doesn't mention Jesus. It doesn't talk about him because, at this point he's just ascended up into heaven and the story is moving on to the birthing of the church, the beginning of the church. And the two main people that we have in chapter 10 of Acts are Cornelius and Peter, the starring roles, as it were, in this passage, are those two men. And for a moment, I want us to focus on and try and understand why it was that both men actually had strong visions from God. Why was it that both men were spoken to by God in this particular way? And what did they respond? As I say, the reading that we've had today only picked out mostly Peter's vision, but actually if you read the first bit of Acts chapter 10, you'll see that actually that was all part of a bigger story, that actually Cornelius had had a vision first, and that he had then sent men to go and meet with Peter in order to invite him back. So let's start with Cornelius. Let's have a look at who he was. And this is what I want us to unpack, is this idea of holy listening. If we're going to listen and be changed, then we need to be willing to embrace the idea that there is a skill to be learned. Just like the juggling, there is a skill in listening to God. It's not something that you necessarily can just get. Sometimes it happens, but generally speaking, it is a skill that is learned, an art, as it were. You don't come along and paint a masterpiece on your first day at art class unless you're, you know, absolutely amazing. Unlikely. It takes skill. And that's the same with us when we listen to God. So Cornelius, he was a Gentile, not a Jew. And I think this is quite important because it already shows us that the God's mission is opening up. At this point, the good news has only been shared, really, with other Jews. The people outside of Jerusalem at this time had heard rumours, but the people that were going, Peter, were going to fellow Jews. They weren't going to the Gentiles at this point. But Cornelius is a Gentile, and he has a vision from God. But what was he like? The beginning of chapter 10 describes Cornelius as a devout man, someone who followed God and did so with a passion and a wholehearted life. Everything about Cornelius seemed to come across as someone who followed God. He was described as God-fearing, someone who recognised who God was and where he fitted into that plan, that God was somehow someone to be in awe and wonder of. He would have known the verse in Proverbs where it said the beginning of knowledge is to fear God. Cornelius understood that, and he would have known that. It's also interesting that it highlights that Cornelius was a generous man. It says that he gave to those who were less fortunate than himself. He clearly is a man of status, someone who has wealth, and yet he is using that to bless others, and that made him stand out from the crowd. He was a Roman, he was a Gentile. He was someone who could have been in things for his own interest, but he had chosen to use his position for others. And I think that's important. The final character trait, as it were, that's mentioned here is that he prayed regularly. Cornelius wasn't the sort of man who only prayed prayers when the going got tough. In a different version of the Bible, the NRSV, it said that he prayed constantly to God. Cornelius spent his life in prayer. And to be honest, Cornelius, when I was reading this and looking at the passage, Cornelius sounded like one of those kinds of followers of God who puts the rest of us to shame. You know, he's generous. He fears God. He's devout. He prays all the time. He's got it all sorted. This man, you know, this is just like, you know, the best one that you can find. And yet, you know, there's the rest of us stumbling along. But I wonder why these character traits were put here. Why did they matter? Why include them? Can't he just be a Gentile who wanted to know about Jesus? I don't know, but I think that they're there to show us that actually, for Cornelius to have such a vision from God, Cornelius needed to be in the right place to start with. He needed to be living the kind of life that opened him up to the possibility of hearing directly from God as he did. He lived a life that meant that it was pointing upward towards God, pointing towards the creator of heaven and earth. And because of that, he was in tune with what God was saying and doing through his spirit. The only thing at this point that Cornelius really lacks is a revelation of Jesus. He knew about Jesus. Rumours would have spread about Jesus by now, but he had not understood what Jesus was about. And this is why he sends for Peter. This is why in the vision he's told, send for Simon Peter. Send for him and he will explain the good news to you. And now if we turn to Peter and look at who Peter is, of course he's one of those people that we hear a lot about in the Bible. But we need to remember that Peter wasn't the big shot, at least he wasn't a major player in religious circles to start with. Just a few years back, he was just a fisherman. And yet he met Jesus and everything changed. Peter was the one who jumped out of the boat and walked on water. It might have only been for a moment or a step or two, but he still walked on water. A man who wasn't religious particularly, who wasn't devout particularly, he was just a fisherman and a Jew, but he managed to walk on water. Peter also was the one who followed Jesus almost everywhere he went. He was never far from Jesus, always wanting to be close to him. Even if he had to go in secret or in fear of death, Peter and Jesus seemed to go hand in hand throughout the gospel stories. Peter was bold and passionate for Jesus. Even when Jesus was around, you know, he was jumping out of boats. He was leaping to the defence of Peter. And then just days after Jesus has ascended into heaven, Peter is preaching to thousands of people. A fisherman who probably couldn't write very well, who probably wasn't very well educated or very articulate, is standing in front of thousands of people telling them about Jesus. God had put a passion inside Peter that was infectious and had to be shared. It couldn't be contained. But I think it's also important to remember that Peter didn't always get it right. He took his eyes off Jesus and he sank into the sea. He fought with a sword when he should have been praying. He ran when he should have stayed. Peter's passion kind of goes hand in hand with his stumbling, and I think that gives us a little bit of hope. You know, Cornelius is up there as being this devout guy who's got it all together, and then there's Peter, who one minute has it all sorted and the next minute is tripping over his own 2 feet. The art of holy listening requires us to be devout and faithful like Cornelius, but also passionate like Peter. But as I've said, it takes skill, it takes practice. It's not something that we just do. Peter spent 3 years living with Jesus. Jesus shaped and prepared him for these moments. That takes time. Cornelius had spent a life with holy habits, doing what he had been taught to do by someone else. Both these men had visions from God that transformed them and others. And so I guess my first point here is that the art of holy listening is something that needs to be practiced. We can't just switch it on like a light switch. We have to put the effort in, just as Joe had to put the effort in to learn to juggle, and we'll have to after the service as well. Now that I've promised you all that. It's something we're going to have to work at. And that's okay, because we are like Peter sometimes, and we get it wrong, and that's okay. The other thing I wanted to highlight, the second point I wanted to highlight, was that it's all very well having a vision. And quite often those visions sometimes can be a bit perplexing, and certainly that was the case for Peter. He didn't understand fully what he was being shown. There was the obvious, if God says something's clean, then it's clean. Don't argue with me, I'm God, kind of attitude that you could take. But at this point, if you are reading through it, he doesn't understand the full significance of the vision that he's had. Okay, God, you said that things that are unclean are now clean, if you say so. Right, I get that. But it's only when Peter suddenly looks up and hears the knocking on the door downstairs that he realises what the vision actually meant. God wasn't just giving Peter some abstract lesson about the good things and the bad things, or what's clean or what's not clean. The vision had a point, it had a purpose. The art of holy listening requires that from time to time we turn our gaze from heaven down to earth. We look from the divine to the ordinary and see what the Spirit is doing already. The vision and the world have to collide. Cornelius has already had a vision. The Spirit has already started the ball rolling. Peter didn't start this. The Spirit didn't start with Peter. It started with Cornelius. And Peter needed to look to see that, rather than just keeping the vision, as it were, to himself. Our visions that we have, when we listen to God and we hear something, We can't just keep them in our minds or treasure them in our hearts. We have to look and say, is this about something in my world around me? Is this about something I see on the news, or about my neighbours, or about somebody else? We have to allow our vision, our hearing from God, to collide with our world in which we live, just as Peter does in this passage. So my first point was the art of holy living takes practice. The second point was that we need to allow that vision, if we have one, to collide with the world, to go into our world. And my final point that I wanted to kind of bring to you is that we have to recognise that the Spirit might astound us. The Spirit might point us in a direction that we do not expect. But we need to accept that. Because if it's God, and if it's God's Spirit moving, then that is where we need to go. And the reason I say that is this. It was against the law for Peter to be with Cornelius. If you look at verse 28, it is against the law, the Jewish tradition, for Peter to associate with a Gentile in the way that he was. Why would the Spirit do that? Why would the Spirit cause Peter to break the law? Well, because God is bigger than the law. The law was made by man, and God had a plan. Peter probably would have looked at this and gone, "You've got to be kidding. You want me to go to Cornelius' house, a Gentile?" But then he would have remembered his vision. What God has said is clean, is clean. And so he accepts it. This was also a big deal, because this was the opening up of that door to take Jesus not just to the Jews, not just to the favoured few, but to all the world, to share the good news of Jesus with others. We have to let the Spirit move and guide us. And sometimes it will take us to places where we are not expecting it to go. Over the last few weeks, I've been thinking and praying about some of our youth and children's ministry stuff. And a couple of times, some names have come to my mind. And initially, I've kind of gone, "Oh, that's just me going off on a tangent," which I often do when I'm praying. I start thinking of praying about a situation, and then I start working out the ABC of fixing it. Which isn't necessarily what I should be doing. It should be pouring out to God. And at first, when these names came to me, I dismissed them. I thought, no, it's just me wandering off or clutching at straws. But they kept coming back to me. And I then sat and started to read the passage for this week and realised, actually, hang on a minute. In this passage, it's saying, if God's Spirit says something, you need to listen. And it might be right, but it might be wrong. But you know what? It doesn't matter. You've got to give it a go. And so I put that before God, and well, we'll see what comes of that. But we have to welcome what fruit comes. And sometimes the Spirit moves us in ways that we don't understand and we're not sure on. But if there is fruit, then it's right. And that is fantastic. We have to accept that. It won't always be easy. Sometimes the Spirit, like Peter, will call us to places we don't want to go. Peter probably didn't want to go to Cornelius' house. He would have been arrested if he'd got caught. He could have been thrown in prison if he'd been caught. But he accepted that that is where God's Spirit was leading him, and therefore that is where he went. Peter only discovered that he could walk on water when he stepped out of the boat. Yes, Jesus could walk on water. Well, that's a given. You know, he's Jesus. He's God's Son. He made everything. He can do what he likes. But Peter only managed it when he stepped out of the boat. But the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, what did he do? The moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he sank. As soon as he looked at the storm and not at Jesus, he sank. When we trust in the Spirit, when we listen to the Spirit, we need to trust it. But we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves sinking very quickly. We need to be astounded by what the Spirit says and what it does, and even to whom, because it might surprise us. But we must accept and welcome whatever fruit comes of that listening to God. And so, to kind of draw it all together, to summarise it, as it were, if we want to live lives that invite questions, we need to practice the art of holy listening. We need to be like Cornelius and Peter and practice this discipline with habits that invite us to meet with Jesus regularly. And the reality is we'll make mistakes along the way. Sometimes we'll hear something and we'll share it and we might look a bit silly. But does that matter? No, it doesn't matter. Making mistakes is a part of our learning, just as it is with juggling, just as it is with our journey of faith. And we must make sure that we don't keep that vision in isolation. Don't keep it to ourselves, but allow it to go into our world, whatever that world is, whether it's school or work or community or family or a random stranger that God just places on your heart. We need to put those two things together. A vision that we keep to ourselves is not really a vision. It's just something selfish that we've got for ourselves. When we let it collide with our world, that's when changes happen. That's when changes happen for Peter and for Cornelius. And then, as finally, as was said, we need to be recognise that we might be astounded, but we must also be accepting and welcoming of whatever fruit comes when we practice this art of listening. And as I said at the beginning, this was a continuing part in our series of lives that lead questions. And as part of that, you've each week or every few weeks, you've had a challenge to do. One was to bless somebody, one was to eat with somebody, and we have a new one this week. And I want to encourage you to think about those blessings, because we had pizza here on Tuesday evening. Was it Tuesday when England? Yes, it was. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. England were playing a football game, so Quench 3 came and watched it. But we also decided to order pizza. It didn't quite work as we planned, because we had intended for three pizza companies to arrive at 8:15 with pizzas all at the same time. And we thought it would just be really funny to have three pizza guys standing outside the front of church. But as it was, one arrived 15 minutes early, one arrived 15 minutes late, and one arrived 20 minutes late. So never mind. We still got lots of pizza. But what was really great was over that meal, and it was silly, it was pointless, it was just a silly thing to do. But over that meal, we had some really good conversations, and we had plenty of time because the game went on and on and on and on. These things help us connect with the Spirit. Whether it's to bless somebody, whether it's to share a meal with somebody, or whether it's to practice the art of listening to God. And that's your challenge, as it were, this week, is to make some time, one chunk of time at least, to listen to what God might be saying to you. Take some time out. Find a block. Sit when you get home today, look at your diary and say, right, I'm really busy this week, but there's a window. I'll make that for God, and I'll make some space. Sit underneath a tree in the shade, go and sit in a cafe or whatever it is that you feel most comfortable in, and listen to God, and you never know what might come of it. Let me pray, and then we're going to have a time of response and worship together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you do speak to us, that you do invite us to be a part of your call, that just like Peter, you are inviting us to listen to your Spirit, and I pray that you'd help us to wait and listen for your voice to us today. Allow us to lay down anything that might hinder and just pause and wait on you today. Amen.